This week's Parsha of Korach deals in the main with the rebellion of Korach, which is certainly one of the most fascinating narratives in the entire Torah. And what I would like to do this evening is to present some insights into this particular episode through the medium of the Meforshim. Let me begin in the following way. Korach, as part of his team, Adas Korach, joins together with men who are known as Kiriyei Moed. You'll find that phrase in Pasuk Beis. Now, Kiriyei Moed is explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Yud in a very interesting way. Korach assembles Kiriyei Moed, Shehoyu Yodeim Liaber Shonim Vilikvoa Chodoshim. These were scholars who had a consummate knowledge in the area of sanctifying the new moon and determining when, according to Jewish law, it was appropriate to add in an extra month in order to make a Jewish leap year. The question that immediately comes to mind is why Korach would want to have people with this type of expertise as prominent members of his congregation who were to rebel against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the question which is raised by Rabbi Yosef Salanter in his essays Be'er Yosef. And he presents the following thesis. I regard it as most magnificent. Let us ask ourselves, what is Korach after? He is certainly not after Moshe Rabbeinu's job. Nobody wants that. Let us have a look at Rashi's comment in Pasuk Gimel, Umadua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem. Says Rashi, Korach's taina is as follows. Im lo kachto ato malchus, that you have taken upon yourself to be a king, that's one thing. But lo hayo lecho levareir liyachicha kehuna, it is most inappropriate for you to have chosen your brother as a Kohen Gadol. So the taina of Korach at this particular moment in time is a complaint against what he sees as an arbitrary choice of his brother Aharon as Kohen Gadol. He defies opinion that Aharon has been chosen because of intrinsic worth. He rather suggests that Aharon was chosen because it's not what you know, it's who you know. We have to ask ourselves, Korach, who is identified in a later Rashi in Pasuk Zion as a Pikeach, is not a fool. Kotzkerever used to call him the Heilige Zayde. He's not a fool. How can Korach come and suggest at this particular moment in time that Aharon HaKohen has not been chosen because of intrinsic worth, but has been chosen arbitrarily because his brother happens to be Moshe Rabbeinu? Let me draw your attention to a Rashi in Parshat Shemini, a Rashi which describes the dedication of the Mishkan during the Yemei Hamiluim. Says Rashi as follows, Shekol Shivat Yemei Hamiluim Shehemiru Moshe LeMishkan, during the entire 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu officiated in the dedication of the Mishkan, v'shimesh bo, and served in it, uferako b'chol yom, and took it down every day, lo sholos abo shchina. The shchina did not reside in the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu put it up, officiated, sachkonish geholfen. The shchina did not come down. V'hoyu Yisrael nichlamim. And Israel, seeing that the Shechina has as yet not come down, are embarrassed. ויאמרים למשה אנשי משה רבינו, משה רבינו כל התורך שתורכנו שתשת שחילה בינינו ונדע שנזכפר לנו עבונו עגל. Did we not labor for the Mishkan only so that through it we might determine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven us for the Chet HaEgel and has caused his divine presence once again to reside amongst us? But so far, Ein Kol V'Ein Oneh, there's nothing. Lokach Amar Lahem, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu replied, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivo Hashem Ta'asu V'Yelo Aleichem Kivud Hashem, Aharon Achi Kedai V'Choshuv Mimeni. My brother Aaron is more special than I am. Shal Yedei Korbanos Ovi Avodah So, because through his Korbanos and his Avodah, Tishra Shechina Bochem, the Shechina will come down, V'teidu Shehamokim Bochavo, and you will know through him that the Shechina has once again chosen to be amongst you. V'yehi v'yom ha'shmini, kol ha'moshe le'yaharun ha'lava. So Aharon is highlighted already from the Shivas Yemei Hamiluim as the one who brought the Shekhinah down to Bnei Yisrael, something that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't achieve. So how does Korach have the gall to come in front of Bnei Yisrael and to say with a straight face that the appointment of Aharon as Kohen Gadol is arbitrary? But the man has proved his worth. So how are we to understand what Korach is talking about? Says Rabbi Yosef Salant, we are forced to conclude that Korach's argument is as follows. The truth of the matter is that whoever the appointee is for Kohen Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sanction the appointment, whoever he will be. And that is why I say you have no right to appoint your brother, because one job in the family is enough. No matter whom you would have appointed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have sanctioned your appointment. So it's not Aharon who is the one anyone would have done. That's our time. You'll say to me, where do we have such a concept in Jewish law that when Jewish people say something, no matter what it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will automatically sanction their choice? We only have one area, and that is in the area of Kiddush HaChodesh. We have a klal in the designation of Rosh Chodesh, that if the Beis Din are to make a certain day Rosh Chodesh, even if they do it by accident, it's the wrong day, or they do it deliberately, or they do it mistakenly, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Atem afilu shogigim, afilu mezidim, afilu mutoim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctions it, and it's Mekudosh Mekudosh, and all the Yomim Tovim that take their cue from when Rosh Chodesh is, are in fact kosher chagim. So we do have an area in Jewish law where an arbitrary or deliberately wrongly chosen item receives the approbation of the Almighty in the area of Kiddush HaChodesh and Dibur Shanim. So therefore Korach, in order to bolster his argument that the choice of Aharon was not because of intrinsic worth, but rather that whomsoever Moshe Rabbeinu would have chosen would still have received the sanction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and been elevated in every way in regard to his duties and his officiating, he brought together with him Kiriei Moed, those people who are Yodim Imli Abir Shonim Ulekadosh Chodosh. That was why he brought those people. Now note the reply. The reply comes by Moshe Rabbeinu, and what does he say in Pasuk Hey? Vayedaber el Korach v'el kol agoso lemor. And Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Korach and to his congregation, saying, Boker, in the morning, v'yodah Hashemes asher lo v'yes HaKadosh v'hikriv elav. Boker, in the morning we will discover. That's the pshat. Have a look at Rashi on the comment beginning v'hikriv. Umidrosho. The Midrashic interpretation of the use of the word Boker is to be understood as follows, and see how beautifully it fits into the theme as presented by the Be'er Yosef. Omar lo Moshe, Moshe replied to Korach and said, Gevulos cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yolamo. God has made certain boundaries in his world. Yecholim atem lahafoch boker liyerev. Can you change day into night? Kein tochlu levatele ser. Similarly, you cannot renounce and cancel the choice of Aharon. Shneemar, vayere vayivoker, vayabdeil Elokim bein ho'oro vein achoshech, and God distinguished between day and night, and similarly the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim reads, vayibodeil Aharon lahakdisho kodesh kodoshim. Says Rabbi Yosef Salanter, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in the plight of Korach is, you've got it wrong. It's not that whoever I would have chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been maskim. The person has to be someone of intrinsic greatness, otherwise he's unsuited to the job. And what I'm telling you, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Korach, in the same way as if Beis Din were to declare day to be night, it would be a nonsense. Similarly, if someone were to be declared as Kohen Gadol, who is not worthy of the title and not worthy of the office, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never be maskim. So the comparison is not to Kiddush HaKodesh. The comparison is to Boker V'Laila, to day and night. You cannot change day into night by any halachic manipulation you think of. And likewise, you cannot make someone who is ineligible for office into someone who is eligible. So if Aharon is in fact the one who is chosen for Kohen Gadol, then you have to appreciate that it is so because he was the most worthy for that particular appointment. Let me add just one concluding comment, which is rather fascinating. You know, the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us the Rabbi Baba Chana, he had many, many travels. And there was an Arab merchant, a Socha Yishmael, who used to guide him on many of his journeys and used to take him to many places. The Gemara says that on one of his journeys with this Arab merchant, he took him to the place where the children of Korach are swallowed up by the earth. Says the Arab merchant, they come up and they say at the tip of the ground they are swallowed up, Moshe emes, v'soraso emes. Moses is true, and his Torah is true. That is Korach, no, not his children, Korach himself. Korach and his Edah, they are the ones who say Moshe emes, v'soraso emes. And says the Gemara, they come up every 30 days. Says the Rashbam, they come up every Rosh Chodesh. They're thrown up to the top of the ground every Rosh Chodesh, because their toast was in regards to the union of Kiddush HaKodesh, because they wanted to liken the appointment of Aharon to Kiddush HaKodesh, Atem Afilu Shogigim Afilu Mezidim Afilu Mutoim, and the emes is that they were wrong. Let me just add a rather interesting note that I came upon in a beautiful set of Sforim that I recently acquired, the Imre Shammai. I'm not exactly sure who he is, I think he's still alive. The Imre Shammai makes a very beautiful comment on a very well-known statement by Rashi. Says Rashi, the Korach shepikeach hoya ma roho lishtus ze. And Korach, who after all was an exceedingly bright gentleman, how did he land himself in this mess? What did he see to embark on this foolishness? I used to learn, I assume most people used to learn, that the shtus is you're going up against Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't have a bigger shtus than that. Says the Imre Shammai, I have another nuance to add here. What is Korach after? Korach is after the kahuna. He's after the Kohen Gadol's job. Says the Imre Shammai, let me direct your attention to a very well-known Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara tells there of an occasion where Rabban Gamliel openly embarrassed Rabbi Yehoshua in the Beis HaMedrash in regards to the Machlokas LaHalacha as to whether davening Ma'ariv is obligatory or optional, Chova or Rishus. According to the assembled rabbis in the Beis HaMedrash, Rabban Gamliel had exceeded his authority and had embarrassed Rabbi Yehoshua unnecessarily. So without a general meeting, they decided that they were going to depose Rabban Gamliel. That was it. Then, of course, the question is, we have to have a successor. After all, he is the Nasi, he is the head of the yeshiva, what are we going to do? So we're looking around for a successor. Says the Gemara, the most obvious successor is Rabbi Yehoshua. Says the Gemara, you can't appoint him. Why? Says the Gemara, Baal Maisahu. He was the cause of Rabban Gamliel being deposed. It would be the ultimate adding insult to injury if we were to give Rabbi Yehoshua the post which has been vacated by Rabban Gamliel on account of Rabbi Yehoshua. Says the Yimrei Shammai, that's the shtus in Korach. Even if he would have succeeded in getting Aharon HaKohen deposed as Kohen Gadol, he would be the first person to be rejected for the job because it's a chabal maisa, because the abdication of Aharon as Kohen Gadol would have come about through the opposition and campaigning of Korach. So Korach should have realized, if you lose, you lose, and if you win, you lose. And that is why Rashi asks, the Korach shepikeach hoya maro l'shtuse. Now all this debate is going on about the suitability of Aharon to remain Kohen Gadol. Is he a good man? Is he a wise choice? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu just say okay? As a yidduch. What is Aharon saying? That's a good kasha. But what's Aharon's reaction to all this? Well, to give an answer to that, let's look at Pasuk Dalet. When Korach comes with his congregation, and they present their arguments, says the Pasuk, Vayishma Moshe, Vayitol Alpanov, and Moses listened, and he falls on his face. Then there's a bit of a problem here. Because in Pasuk Gimel it says, Vayikohalu al Moshe v'al Aharon. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. So they didn't approach Moshe Rabbeinu. They approached Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. So the question is, what's this Vayishma Moshe v'yipol al polov in the singular? Should have been Vayiplu, and they fell on their faces. Says the Ramban, Velo Vayiplu. Doesn't say, and they fell. Ki Aharon b'musaro uvikedushoso lo ono dovor b'chol hamachlokes hazu. Aaron, because of his saintliness and piety, did not say one word in this entire dispute. Vayehi kemacharish, and he made like he's not hearing. Uchemode, and he is acting as if he is agreeing. Shemalas Korach gedolo mimal also. Because of his humility, he is silent because he is as if to say, the emes is, Korach is a bigger person than I am. But what am I doing still in the job? Aval hu osek hidavar Moshe umekayim gezeiras melech. I have to do what my brother tells me, he's the king. So Aharon, during this entire episode, remains silent, because, says the Ramban, he is as if admitting that any other person is more ra'ui to be Kohen Gadol than he is, and the reason why he's in the position to begin with is because it was an appointment made by Moshe Rabbeinu, who has a din of melech, and Aharon is not allowed to contravene his instructions. It's a beautiful insight into the part that Aharon plays in this entire episode. Now, so here we have on the one hand Korach, the Chol HaDoser. On the other hand, we have Moshe Rabbeinu because Aharon has slipped into the background. So, of course, unlike the old Rebbetzin story, both cannot be right. So somebody has to be right and somebody has to be wrong. And the question is, how do we find out? Says Moshe Rabbeinu to Korach v'chol adoso in Pasuk Vav, Zos asu, this is going to be the acid test. Kechulach and machtos, take for yourself pans. Korach v'cholad oso, right? Korach and his congregation. Usenu v'heinesh, and put fire into them. V'simu alehen ketores, and put ketores incense on them. Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem mochor tomorrow. V'hoyo, and it will be hoish the man. Asher yivchar bo Hashem, whom Hashem will choose. Hu hakodosh, he will be the designated one. Rav lochem b'nei Levi. Let us now have a look at Rashi in Pasuk Vav, a long Rashi. Reb Leib Zatzal used to say, beware the long Rashis and the short Tosfos. Let's have a look at the long Rashi. Okay. Mara alom alohem kach. What did Moshe Rabbeinu see to give them such an instruction? Why did he give them an instruction concerning the Ketores? Om alohem, says Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to these many people who are assembled with Korach, he said to them like this, Bedarchei hagoyim, amongst the goyim, yeshni musim harbe, they've got many customs, the komrim harbe, and many priests, the yein kulam miskabitzim bebayis echad, and they all don't come to the same house of worship. Oh no, but us, ein lanu elo Hashem echad, we only have one God, oron echad, one ark, the Torah achas, one Torah, mizbeach echad, and one altar, the kohen gadol echad, and one kohen gadol, v'atem, and you, masayim v'chamishim ish, the 250 of you, mevakshim kehuna gedayla, all of you want to be a kohen gadol, shach meshach to be a hinner, you want to be a kohen gadol, the whole 250. Afani writes to Bekach, why not? Holochem tashmish chobiv mikol, I am now going to suggest that there is one ritual which is more beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any other, and that is Hi HaKetores. It is incense, HaChaviva Mikol HaKorbanos, which is more beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all the sacrifices. Oh, Vesam Hamoves Nosen Beseichai. But it can be fatal. Shebo Nisrefu Nodav Yaviyu. Because Nodav and Aviyu came to grief because they brought Ketores under circumstances where they were not allowed to. Lefikach, and since it can bring about death, that's why Hisro Bohem, Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, and said to them, V'hoyo ho'ish asher yivchar Hashem, hu hakodosh, the man whom HaKadosh Baruch will choose, hu hakodosh, meaning, kevar hu b'kedush oso, you can be sure that that person is one who has already been sanctified. Says Rashi, v'chi ein anu yodim shemisha yivchar hu hakodosh. Do we not know that the one whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose is the one who is already a holy person? Ela omar lehem Moshe. Moshe said to them, hareini omer lachem, I am only telling you this because there can only be one of you who is going to be a kohen gadol. Shalot ischayivu. I'm telling you this so that you don't land yourself in trouble. Misha yivchar bo yetzei chai. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu will designate will come out alive. V'chulechem ovdim. And the rest of you will die. Now this is a long Rashi. Beware the long Rashis. And I got a simple kasha. You have here 250 people. And you know and I know and they know that you can't have 250 Kehanim Gedolim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says there's going to be one. And the other 249 people are not only in trouble, they're dead. And not one of them backed down. They kept going. How come? I mean, the odds are heavily stacked against them. So what is going on? We've seen this Rashi before. Rashi is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu warned these people, if you go ahead with the Ketores, you should know that there are problems. It can work in your favor, and it can work against you. And if it works against you, you're in deep trouble. And there can only be one of you, and the other 200 and whatever it is, are going to be dead. And they didn't back down. Let me answer this question with a Rambam. The Rambam speaks about the phenomenon that we extol as a prime aspect of the human makeup, and that is free will. Says the Rambam, in Perek Vav, Mehuches Teshuvah, Halacha Gimel. The Efshar Sheyechte Odom Chet Gadol. It is possible that a person will sin, a major sin, O Chatoim Rabim, or many sins, Ad Sheyitein Hadin Lifnei Dayan Hoemes, to the extent that it will be considered by the truthful judge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as being an appropriate punishment, שיהי הפירוין מזה החוטא על קטועים אלה שעושו ברצונו ומדעתו. What is the punishment? שמונעין ממנו התשובה. That we don't allow him to do teshuva. ויין מניחן לו רשוס לא שוב מרשעו, and we don't give him the permission to repent, כדי שיומוסו that he die, ויובד בחטאו שיעשה, and die still with the stigma of that sin. Says the Rambam, there are occasions when a person will commit many sins, and so many sins, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that part of his punishment is never to be allowed to repent. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. It is possible also that a person will sin, one sin, but it is of such a magnitude that the din will be the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow him to repent. And he brings a proof. Hu sheh HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar al yedei Yishayahu. This is the theme which is echoed by the prophet Isaiah. Hashmei lev ha'am hazeh. The heart of this people has become like fat. It has congealed. They are not allowed to repent. Vechein hu omer, and also he says, listen to the words, Vayehi malivim b'malacheho Elokim, and the people of Israel mocked the agents of God, ubozim devarav, and treated his words with shame, umetatim b'neviyav, and mocked his prophets, and alos chamas Hashem b'yamo, to the extent that the anger of God was aroused against his people, ad liyein marpeh, to the extent that there was no cure, kelomar, chotu biretzonam, they sinned of their own free will, v'hirbu lifshoa, and they sinned exceedingly, ad shenischayevu, until they deserved, limnoa mehen hateshuva, that teshuva should be withheld from them, shehi hamarpeh, which is referred to by the Navi as cure, healing. What is the pasuk that the Rambam brings in order to prove to you that there are times when an individual Jew can commit one cardinal sin, as a result of which he will never be allowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to repent of his sin? The pasuk he brings, my friends, Vayehiyu malivim b'malacheho Elokim, they made light of the agents of Hashem, uvozim devarav, and ridiculed his words, umetatim b'neviyav, and mocked his neviim. That is exactly what the Adas Korach did. They said that Moshe Rabbeinu was making up the whole Torah on his own. They were saying that the appointment of Aaron HaKohen was arbitrary, and we all heard the mitzvahs like you heard, the first two, and that's all there was. You cannot have any greater example of by Yehiyu Malivim Bamalachi Elokim Uvozim Dovarov Umetatim Beneviyov than Adas Korach. And therefore, do you want to know why Rashi says B'Shem Chazal that even though they knew only one was going to be a Kohen Gadol, none of them backed away? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away their ability to back away like he took it away from Paro. And I want to bring you a proof to this thesis. Because there is a very beautiful comment from the Rabbi Yaakov Lembenberg, the Nesivis, the Chavos Doas, in a small sefer on Agudas Hashasim Brochus, a sefer entitled Emes LeYaakov, says the Emes LeYaakov as follows. There is a Gemara in Brochus about certain people, Baryune bandits, who were annoying Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir decided he was going to pray that they all die. Says his wife to Rabbi Meir, Yitamu chatoim in oretz, chatoim velo choteim. We normally translate Yitamu chatoim in oretz, that's the end of Baruch Hinafshi, right? Let sin depart from the earth. Says Rabbi Yaakov in the Emes LeYaakov, that is not the correct translation. I will explain. The truth of the matter is that literally the word chatoi means sins. But there are occasions when a person is such a sinful person and the sin has become such a part of him that he is no longer called one of the Chotaim, which is a word used when the sin is casual but doesn't become part of his essence, and Chatoim, which signifies that the person and sin have become as one. As David HaMelech says in the obverse, Va'ani Tefila, not I daven. If you say I daven, that means I, and occasionally I am involved in the practice of Tefila. But if you say Va'ani Tefila, then you are saying I and prayer are one. So the word Chatoim says, Rabbi Yaakov, let me read out his words, and you will see how beautifully they fit in here. When the Pasuk says, Chatoim tirdof ra'a, let evil pursue Chatoim, hu al kavono zu. It means to be translated in the following way. Sha'akosuf eino mekalil rak lechatoim, that Pasuk is only cursing the Chatoim. Who are they? Perush o song, those she'i efshar shuv lahachet lihiporeid mimenu, those from whom sin can never be separated. V'hainu meaning, os on those shemone'in mehen darke ha'tshuva, from whom we have withheld the possibility of tshuva. V'shuv I efshar lihiporeid mehem hachet v'shum eifu. The hachet nis'atzeim bo, and the chet becomes so much part of them, ad shenikroin chatoin velo chotaim. And therefore, that is what Rabbi Meir's wife said. Why are you cursing these people? They are not sinners with whom the sin has become so much part and parcel. They sin from time to time. It's yitamu chatoim velo chotaim. The pasuk who says that people should die is the chatoim, not chotaim. So Chatoim are people, in the words of the Emes Liakov, from whom the possibility of teshuva has been withheld. Shemonin mehem darke hateshuva. And now, my friends, allow me to draw your attention to Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Gimel. So he says, what's going on here? It's only the Adas Korach who sinned. So why do you say that you want to get angry with the entire people of Israel? Is miyad hodiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu clarifies his earlier comment and says, Ki lo chol hadas b'nei Yisrael bikesh lechalos. He doesn't want and never had any intention of destroying the entire congregation of Israel. Aval hadas korach b'levad. Lefikach, therefore, pireish lo's. He explains in verse 24 what he meant in verse 21. Zeshe yomarti hi bodalu. When I said to you to separate yourself, I meant heyalu misaviv lemishkan korach doson va'avira. Hu she yomarti lecha. And hiski lohem heyalu misaviv. And why did he say heyalu misaviv? Ulai, because perhaps kisheyiru korach v'yadoso yoshuvu. Maybe when Korach will see the entire people going away, they will do teshuva. We're not going to go back into the inyanim that we've mentioned. We've mentioned one derech. We leave that part of the Ramban alone for the moment. Now, what Rabbeinu Chananel is saying is very simply that when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the words, Hibodolu mitocho edo hazos, separate yourself from the congregation, he thought that Kodesh Baruch Hu was referring to the congregation of Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu considered that most unfair, because the Bnei Yisrael have as yet done nothing. It's Korach and his congregation who are causing all the trouble. So Moshe Rabbeinu questions, etc., etc. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now comes to explain, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, you've got it wrong. When I said the word Eda, it didn't mean the Eda of Bnei Yisrael, it meant the Adas Korach. Says the Ramban at the bottom line there, V'cholilo shelo yovin Moshe nevuoso v'yitabah. V'todos nitzah. You cannot say that Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstood comments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making to him. You can't say that. If you can't say that, so how are you going to explain what's going on? Says the Ramban, Aval Hatam, and I bring the Ramban so you should know what's going on here. Aval Hatam, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, He bodilu mi teichu edo hazos, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment in time intends to wipe out the entire people. Kimitechila, the truth of the matter is, says the Ramban, to begin with, Hoyolev Ha'om Acharei Yaharon. The people were totally on the side of Moshe and Aharon when Korach began his rebellion. But when Korach and his congregation took their pans, and put ketores in them, and stood at the door of the Ohel Moed together with Moshe and Aharon, then Korach addressed the entire people. And he said to the people, you think I'm fighting a personal fight? I'm fighting your fight. Because what has happened? All of a sudden the tribe of Levi have replaced the firstborn. What's going on here? We've got a dictatorship. Vayitav hadavar b'yeinehem, and his words impressed them greatly. V'nikalu kulam, and they all came together, l'rosh, to see, ulay yasher b'yeinehu elokim, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with Korach's arguments, v'sashuv ho avodah l'vechoreihem, and Shevet Levi will be deposed, and the avodah will come back to the firstborn. So every family got a stake in this uprising. V'zeh tam, and that's what it means when it says in Pasuk Yutes Vayakel Aleihem Korach is Koloedo, that Korach gathered together the entire congregation. Now, at this particular moment in time, Korach is swaying the people. Now you're going to tell me that one man who has the ability in the presence of Moshe and Aaron to sway the entire Jewish people who stood at the foot of Har Sinai, in the words of the classics, Dostaf Menkenen. So we already, through the Ramban, have an idea what's going on here. The type of individual with whom we are involved. The Hinein is Chayavu Kelio. And at this moment, the Jewish people are deserving of extinction. Shehoyu Mahar Harim Acharei Rabbam. Because at this moment, there is doubt in their minds. Maybe their leader is not all that he pretends to be. And if you are Mahar Her Achrei Rabom, is Vehem Ki Mahar Harim Achrei HaShechino, it's as if you already have doubts about the Shechino Ki V'yochel, Umevatrim Al Nevuas Novi Bilibom, and it is as if they are dismissing the whole concept of the truth of prophecy, V'chayovim Misa B'idei Shomayim, and they are automatically deserving of death. So he Bodilu Mitocho Edo Hazos HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, get away from the people of Israel, it's all over. Moshe v'Aharon lomdu aleim zechus, but olimdu aleim zechus. Moshe and Aharon, they wanted to be melamed zechus on Bnei Yisrael, because they come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, Shalaychoto b'maisa l'Korach. The instigator should be held to blame, not the people who are seduced and won over by his oratory. V'hu hagoreim, v'hu hamifateh osam. He is the cause, and he is the one who seduces them. And therefore it is appropriate that he die, lefarseim ulehodia on shol orabim, so that his punishment can be publicized to the multitude. And because Moshe Rabbeinu tainas the way he tainas, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the decree and says, heyalumi saviv lemishkan Korach doson rabim. So the original decree was, chas v'sholom, to destroy the entire people because of their creeping doubt as to whether Moshe Emes Mitzrayel also Emes. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says no, they may have these thoughts in their minds, but it is the people who put the thoughts there that are deserving of death, not those people who have been swayed by these people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the only ones deserving of death are Korach, Doson, Vaviro, and Vados. Now, but I want to move on then in order to bring this episode to a close. And that is, as you know, the earth opens, and Korach, Doson, and Aviram, and their followers, and all their property, they go down, and they are swallowed up. And that's it. I would have imagined that this is an adequate indication to the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu is not acting on his own behalf, but that it is in fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has appointed Moshe Rabbeinu as the Novi, and therefore to attack and to impugn the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is something in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to take a hand, because it affects Torah and it affects the most basic axioms of our faith. Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav. It's a fascinating panorama here.
וילונו כל הדס בני ישראל ממחרוס על משה ועל אהרון לאמור, אתם המיתם את עם השם. You can't win. The people come and they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon and they say, you have killed Jews. I mean, they rebelled. They revolted against the authenticity of the Torah, against the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam b'Yisrael k'Moshe. And nevertheless, the people come along and they say, Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You were the cause of killing these people. Well, what sort of a taina is it? They tried, and they lost, and the matter was so major that they had to lose in a very dramatic fashion. Atem hamitem es am Hashem. So we come back to the stalwart, to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Atem hamitem. First of all, first of all, we have to know what the word Lemor is saying here. After all, when you're talking to Moshe and Aharon, Lemor usually means to tell somebody else, but you're addressing Moshe and Aharon. It's Achar Shahataluna, he al Moshe v'yal Aharon, ma mokum lo ma Lemor. V'ulai, one answer is, ki ha'om lo amru ha'devorim kiksovom, that the people didn't say the words atem hamitem. Rather, ela omru divrei telunos, but they said words of complaint, shekavonos kolonos divreim, whose import was atem hamitem. Loze omar, therefore the Torah says the words vayilonu kol hadas bnei yisrael mimochros al Moshe v'al Aharon, and the substance of their complaint was lemor, to say atem hamitem es am Hashem. Okay, now Od Yirtzeh, I would like to explain the word lemor when I address myself to another problem. Eich Tochmar os einehem. How did their eyes deceive them? Lasos teluno al Moshe below Sibo, to make a complaint against Moshe and Aharon without cause. Ma pisho machatoso. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin. Uma gamach asheru kamo hishpil atzmo lifnei dosen vaaviro. Apart from which, look how much Moshe Rabbeinu was meichel on his covered. He went to dosen vaaviro, to their tents, to ask them maybe to change their minds. He didn't stand on his dignity. Mikanshein machzikim v'machlekes. Ula yoshuvu is azeh yagid shehishtadei leval yomusim. Surely that indicates that he didn't want them to die. Oh, chein. However, taruma so'edah, the complaint of the people is, al ma she'oso Moshe ha'mivchon shel haketores b'chulom yachat. You want to prove who's right and who's wrong? Take one representative from each side. Take Aharon and take Korach. What are you going to make a whole example of 250 people? Shahoya Lola Sos Hamivchan the Korach Levad. You want to find out who's the right one? Take a representative from this side, a representative from this side, and you'll find out very quickly. Uchashahoyo Hashem Osebo Hamishpot, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have killed Korach, lo hayu nigashim ham nosaim v'chamishim nisiyei edo v'lo hayu meisim, the other 250 would still be alive. V'hu omru. And that is what they mean when they say, I go back over the pasuk, vayilonu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael mimocharos al Moshe v'al Aharon. Their complaint is, lemor, that by what you said, inviting the entire 250 to participate in the contest, is atem hamitem. For who am rolei mor atem hamitem? Perish. B'ma'amorechem sh'amartem lohem kechulish machtoso chamishim u'masayim. By announcing that you want a contest between Aharon on one side and 250 yard on the other, atem hamitem is amashem. They didn't complain against the death of Korach, Dothan, and Aviram. Elo ala Mosayim v'chamishim, shekulam hoyu roshi sanhedrios. They were all nesiei Eido. You had no right to make the competition between one and 250 yard on the other side. That's the complaint. Atem hamitem es am Hashem. That you kill Korach, Dothan, Dothan, and Aviram, the ringleaders. Fine. Oh, but why did you have to bring the whole 250 people into the whole thing? You could have proved your point with a lesser number of, and avoided such a tremendous casualty list. And because they complain, Uledivre further, Uledivre Rabboseinu Zal, and you can also explain their complaint according to Chazal, who say Sha'omru Shetaruma Soveda Hoyasa Lama Lama Sheyotzum LaHakir HaKetores Shehavoda Yaisa Kedusha VaChamura. You can also say according to the Chazal, who say that their complaint was, why did you choose a contest with Ketores, when you know that Ketores in the wrong hands brings about death? Why couldn't you have proven your point without killing anybody? So they did that also. When you said to bring Ketores, Atem hayisem siva sheyamus. And because of their complaint, a plague broke out amongst the Jewish people. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in order to disprove the complaint of the Bnei Yisrael? He brought a plague. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon, take a pan and put in it Ketores and go around with the Ketores and you will stop the plague. Indicating that Ketores is not the cause of death, because Ketores can be the cause of life. What killed those people was not the Ketores. What killed those people was their sin. Lo arod meimis, lachet meimis. That's the Orachaim HaKadosh, kaches hamachta. Take the pan, pasuk yud aleph. Why is that the answer? Ki lihiyo sheyomru, because since they said, Kisibas hasrufim hoyasabishvil haketores haketores shehu sivev misas hamashem. Since they were complaining that the offering of the ketores was ill-advised because that's what killed them, lozeher olohem, that through therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them through the instruction which Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Aharon, ki hagam shehaketores hayachutz lizmano v'chutz l'mekamo, that even Aaron going around with ketores, which after all is not being offered up in its appropriate time, and it's not being offered up even in the Yohel Moed, it's being brought around, and nevertheless, Adarabba Otsar Hamisa Meyal Yisrael, it's a source of stopping the Magev. Uvozeh Yatzdik, and that proves the point. Ki Hakol Maisa Hashem, all that happens is an act of God. Ki Hu Meimis Lechayev B'Yein Sovev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can kill without having a cause. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the instruction which Moshe Rabbeinu gave Aharon, showed that the Ketores can be a sign of life, he was showing the Jewish people that your complaint is invalid, because it is not the Ketores which killed them, it was their sin which killed them. Vayehiyu malivim b'malachei Elokim, etc., etc. Now, just one moment before we part, because in reality, the episode is not over. First there was the complaint of Korach, and then they die. And then there is the complaint of the Bnei Yisrael, who say, you shouldn't have killed them. And then there is the Machta with Aharon, which is the reply to that. And then there follows on a final episode. And that is, beginning with Chamishi in Pasuk de Zion, Hashem tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell each representative of each tribe that they have to select a staff, and they have to put the staff together with the staff of Aharon in the Yohel Moed, and whoever staff will sprout, that will be the sign that that is the tribe. So you may ask, or if not, I will ask on your behalf, what we need to, you've proven your point. And it will happen that the man whom I will choose is half the school. What do you need a staff for? And all that's happened to Korach, he's died in a most dramatic fashion. This hasn't proven the point. No. Because there could still be Jews who are of the opinion, says the Orachaim HaKadosh, Jews could still think, in reality, the tribe of Levi is no better than any other tribe. Ah, Yebazeh! So why was Korach punished in such a dramatic fashion? It could be punished because he was right or wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be trifled with. So it could be punished because Korach died in such a dramatic fashion. Does not prove the authenticity of what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And the reason why Korach died Therefore, took vengeance because of the honor of his prophet and the faithful one of his household. Uliolam, and therefore the Jewish people could think that that's why they died, and it's still possible, Sheyivchar b'sha'ar hashvotim l'shoroso, that God would at some time decide that Shevet Levi is not the tribe to serve him, there are other tribes. Lozet zivo Hashem la'asos mivchan hamatos. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to make a test, a trial through the matos, thereby proving once and for all that the tribe which is chosen to serve him is the tribe. Let me get an age where people are complaining against excessive salaries. The Pasuk says, first of all, they get Meiser. And they get all various other matters which are given to them. And they get cities. All sorts of things. Why should they get it? Chelef avodaschem. As a reward for their work. So they get 48 cities. Get all sorts of gifts. And a Meiser from the entire people. A tenth of everything that's harvested in Israel. No, you say to me, of course, they deserve it. They work hard. Officiating in the Beis HaMikdash, opening and closing the doors, singing the songs, helping the Kohanim. Of course, they're entitled to this type of reward. Let me just quote after all, otherwise we won't have looked at the page at all. You'd be wondering what you got for. A moment or two, it's worthwhile. I know the evening is rather hot, but nevertheless. Something most beautiful. I wouldn't, chas v'sholem, use the word P.S., but such a gorgeous theme on which to end. Viroisi, this is from a Sefer called Shari Yoda, which is a volume on Torah, two halachim by Rabbi Bergman, who is the son-in-law of Rav Shach. Viroisi mevi'im b'shem agon agodl bal ho'or sameach, that's all. I've seen people quoting in the name of the Or Sameach the following thought, the Meshech Chochma. De'im nosim leiv, that if we will direct our minds lehisbonein al hekef avodas halevi'im b'mikdash, to discover exactly what work did the Levi'im do in the Beis HaMikdash, v'kamaz man hoyo nidrish mehem la'avodas avodasam b'kodesh, and how much time did they have to give over to working in the Mikdash, nera we will find shekol levi v'levi ovad yom echod michovdal ha'tshuvos. One day every 24 works, 24 weeks, overworked. One day every 24 weeks. V'dovers em mevuah b'Rambam, b'Perek Gimel Miklei HaMikdash Halacha Tes. And this is a matter which is stated clearly in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Shmuel Horoel, right? Shmuel HaNavi, v'dover HaMelech and King David, chilku HaLevi'im, divided the Levi'im, li'arbo v'yesri mishmoros, into 24 rotas, right? Watches. Each of them, the Oved Mishmar b'chol Shabbos, and each Mishmar has a week. Fine, okay. So you got 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar got a week. The Cholanshe Mishmar, and all the men of one Mishmar, Mechalek Osom Rosh HaMishmar L'Motei Yovas, V'chol Yomi Mei HaShabbos, Ovdom Osom HaNoshim Yaduim. And the Mishmaros were divided up into Motei Yovas, and each of them got a day. For Roshei Ho'ovas Mechalekim Elo Ho'ovdim Bayom Shalahem Ishi Shalavodosim. And each person who is a member of a base of worked one day from that week. And he worked one week out of one day out of one week out of 24. Ulefizeh, therefore Yotzi, it comes about, Shekolevi Ovad Yom Echod Michovdal HaTshuvos, worked one day every 24 weeks. Umikivan Shebeshono Yeshnam Kechamishim HaTshuvos, and since in an ordinary year there are approximately 50 weeks, Nimtzot works out, Shekolevi Ovad Yomayim Beshono Beyerach. Every Levi worked 2 days a year. I mean, if we pray for Mashiach Zeit and dust, that's good. two days. I mean, damn, I'm looking forward to 2 days a year. Like they used to say, but Amalekah Rabbonim used to darshan twice a year and learn every day. Okay. V'lechuri yipole. And then, Heidegger Rabbonim, etc., etc. Okay. V'lechuri yipole. says the Meshech Chochmah, it's strange. Lomalo yinchalu alevim son of Ekerem. Why shouldn't they get and own their own tribal holding? The Yavdu Avodah Suadoma Kishar Ashvatim Kol Yomais Hashana Pochos Yomayim. Let them get a tribal holding like everybody else, and take 2 days off, and leave the fields, and do the job, and come back. I mean, between friends, 2 days. And they get all this schar for 2 days a year. There'd be letters to the editor. What's going on here? Says the Meshech Chochmah, what's the explanation? There's a gewaltige Meitzah here. I passed through Korach, I never looked at this. Okay, Lemedim is there. The truth of the matter is, What do you think? Going in and working in the Beis HaMikdash is like you get mafter, so you make a few mistakes. You want to officiate as a Levi for 2 days a year, takes you an entire year to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, intellectually, in every way for those 2 days. A Levi could not officiate for 2 days in the year without being involved in matters, spiritual matters, religious matters, theological, the entire year. Because the entire year had to be in that matzav. To serve for 2 days, you have to be on a madrega. You go into the fields for 1 day, friend, you cannot officiate, you can't get back. There's a level of commitment, a level of theological, religious, spiritual attainment, which is a necessary prerequisite for officiating, and unless you have that level, you can't officiate. And therefore, the Levi who has to officiate for 2 days, it should come as no surprise that he has to be involved totally, exclusively in matter spiritual for the entire year, otherwise he can't even do it for the 2 days. We leave it over here.